Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Green and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn, I'm from Haines Falls, and I'm still 12 years old.
I'm Emily, I'm an adult, I'm from Hudson, I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library. It's just the two of us today. Just like old times, before we made all our friends.
Yes.
We're too busy today to join us.
Yeah. And I almost didn't make it. I was almost late.
I was all alone. I would have been all right. It would have been a much different show, though.
Yeah.
Not as entertaining.
No, you would have played music instead.
Probably. I don't like to talk to myself. I know there's people out there listening, but I don't know if they want to hear me talk for half an hour about books.
Yeah, when there's no one to question.
Yeah. I'm no Philip Grant. That guy's entertaining. Have you heard him on the radio?
No.
He does the morning show. He's great with guests too, but he can do a good show on his own, and it's just as entertaining as if someone was in the studio with him.
It's pretty cool.
We could all learn something from Philip Grant. But anyways, we're here to talk about books, which is what we do here on Bound by Books each week. Mm-hmm. So we're here every Monday, 3:30 to 4 p.m. You can listen in any week, and sometimes we're joined by other friends like Antonia and Ingrid and Gina and Mamuda and Moshi, Delisa, Garrett, Charmian, so many people.
Yeah.
Yes. Today we have some books for some younger readers
than what
we normally talk about. So what book did you bring, Quinn?
I brought Mrs. Pigwiggle's Magic by Betty McDonald. Pictures by Hilary Knight. Also, I looked at the copyright, and it's copyright 1957.
Ooh.
And all the pages are extremely yellow. And the.
Do you think it was that book is an original 1950s book?
I don't know, because my grandmother's a librarian, and that's who I got it from. Uh-huh. And she's very good at taking care of books. Uh-huh. So it might be.
Could be. It looks very nice.
I don't know. It's probably after that, but
who knows? But what is it about?
It is about this town, and each chapter is about, or each couple of chapters is about, a child or children in a household who have some kind of illness, and the illness is usually, there's a different one per chapter. It's Tattletales or Thought You Saids, or, I don't know, they have a list at the beginning.
What are Thought You Saids?
Thought You Saids? Thought You Saids are when you say something and they think you said something else. And it actually can be quite annoying.
Mm-hmm.
The Tattletales, the Bad Table Manners, the Interrupters, the Heedless Breaker, the Never Want to Go to Schooler, the I Waddle Doers. Even though I have no idea.
A what?
An I Waddle Doers.
I Waddle Doers.
I don't know what that is. But Mrs. Pigwiggle likes children, and her house is completely upside down. Even though, I don't
literally
know.
Literally or figuratively?
Well, it was built upside down, so it's supposed to be upside down.
Okay, so and literally.
Yeah, and all her furniture is right side up.
Hmm.
And I was imagining something like the light fixtures being on the floor, but I'm not really certain. I don't know, people seem to walk around it fine, so I don't really know what's upside down, what's not, but
sounds fun.
It is. It's very fun. And I know the my favorite one is the table manners one, because she sends the family a pig who has extremely good table manners,
as most pigs do.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
extremely good, though, amazingly good. But the pig runs away by the end of the chapter because they accidentally served bacon and eggs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very good table manners when you have a pig over for...
No, it's not.
For dinner.
But it's okay because the child got good table manners afterwards.
Oh, so it worked. Oh, well done, Mrs. Pigglewiggle.
Yeah. It always works.
So did you read this book a long time ago, or did you recently?
Well... I don't know the last time I've read it, because every once in a while I'll just pick it up for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably done that within the last year or so.
When you pick it up for fun, do you just read part of it or do you read the whole thing?
Sometimes I read part of it and sometimes I read the whole thing.
It seems like it's kind of in like little stories with the different chapters.
Yeah, it is in little stories. Mm-hmm. And then except for the first chapter, which is just about Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle. And I know that there's other books, other Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle books. And there's one I know where, like, there's pirate treasure in her house.
Well,
and something cool happens.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. It's very fun and exciting. And it's from 6 to 10-year-olds, but I think really it's enjoyable for whoever, really.
Yeah. It is nice when they put the suggested age right on the book, though.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
So you can help know if it might be for you.
Yes. But I read it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I'll often open books no matter what their age thing is, but it's good to just know in advance.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite? So you said you like Table Manners as a favorite part. Do you have a favorite character in the book?
Well, Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle, you don't really see much of her because mostly it's the exciting thing that goes on at her house.
Uh-huh.
But she sounds really cool, and I wish she got more book time.
I wonder if she does in the other books.
Not really. Not there's so one or two. Like, there's the one that happens at her house about the pirate treasure. And that one she gets some more. But usually it's just the very beginning of the book or the very end of the book. Mm. Well, at the very beginning of the chapter, at the very end of the chapter, she'll have, like, a phone call or something where the parent gets really sad about how their child is awful table manners.
Awful.
I know. It's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I just started a book for younger readers, too.
You did?
Yes. Cool. I started listening to The BFG by Roald Dahl. And it's, the book's by Roald Dahl, and it's illustrated by Quentin Blake, who's awesome. But I'm listening to the audiobook, and it's read by a man named David Walliams, which I thought was Williams for a while, and then I noticed there was an A instead of an I.
Ah.
So it's David Walliams. And he has a very nice voice. It kind of reminds me of Jim Dale, who's one of my favorite narrators, or almost a little bit like Neil Gaiman, who's... I'm also listening to adult audiobook read by Neil Gaiman. What's interesting about the audio recording, too, is that they've added sound effects into it. I don't know that I like, but it's subtle. So it's not throughout the whole thing, but every once in a while, there's little sound effects. Kind of annoy me.
Like, there's one Terry Pratchett book where at the beginning of every chapter they play music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over their voice, and it's super awful.
Yeah, it doesn't usually work so well. Yeah. I usually like a straight narration, but it's not... I'm glad they didn't do it throughout the whole story.
Yeah.
But every once in a while it's in there.
But Terry Pratchett will often have, like... bangs and clashes, like, written down in the book, and so then the narrator will say the bangs and clashes and stuff.
But they'll just say it like, bang, clash.
No, they'll be like, boing, boing.
Oh, wow. So they really act it out.
Awesome. Cool.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, yeah, so anyways, the BFG is, BFG stands for Big Friendly Giant, and the main character's name is Sophie, and she is not a giant. She is a human girl, and... one night she's looking out her window and she sees this big giant taking this trumpet thing and pointing it into her neighbor's bedroom window and blowing something in there. And then he sees her watching and, like, grabs her and takes her away with him. He eventually lets her know that he wasn't doing something bad to them. What he does is he gathers dreams and he blows good dreams into the houses so they can have nice dreams. And he tries to, like, catch nightmares and not send those to the kids. I haven't gotten too far into it, but they're becoming friends.
Good.
And he's explained that he is the only really nice giant. All the other giants like to eat humans. They call them beans. And so far I've met one of those giants.
Ah.
Yeah. And it's very, if you've read any other Roald Dahl, it's very Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
lots of made up words and, I don't know, funny things. so. I'm enjoying it so far. I haven't actually read that much of Roald Dahl.
Mm-hmm. I have one or two of his books.
Yeah. So I'm reading this one now, and then I'll, I'm probably going to listen, or I'm listening to this one now. I'm probably going to listen to Matilda next, because I like I think Matilda's going to be a favorite.
Favorite book?
I think so. I think it might be my favorite Roald Dahl.
Uh-huh.
I read James and the Giant Peach when I was little, and I'm pretty sure I read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or I think it's called Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I've read that, and
I
the
forget
sequel.
What the book title is. I think it's Charlie Chaplin and...
No, Charlie Chaplin.
I do love Charlie Chaplin. I wish there were books about him that were fictional. Maybe there are.
Whoa.
But would they be silent? Could you actually read them? Maybe they'd be wordless picture books.
I don't know.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
There is a new graphic novel about Buster Keaton.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't read it yet. It's called Bluffton. It looks really good. That's about
awesome.
Like his childhood.
That sounds awesome.
But it's not Charlie Chaplin.
Oh.
Nor is it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is what I was first talking about.
Yeah.
But whatever Chaplin, that the name of the book is, I have I'm pretty sure I read that as a kid, but it's hard to know for sure because I've seen the movie so many times. Which I love.
Mm-hmm.
The original. Not the remake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you read any Roald Dahl that you can think of?
I've read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka, whatever
that one is.
Yeah.
Not Charlie
and
Chaplin.
I've read the second one about
the glass elevator.
The glass elevator. And I have Henry Sugar, the Wonder Adventures of Henry Sugar.
I have that audiobook too. Was it a good one? Should I listen to that one?
Yes.
Yes.
I likes it. It's a bunch of short stories, and one or two of the short stories I'm not so certain about. Like, the swan is a bit out there for me. Because this kid gets, shot, and I'm... Yeah. And then there's another one about Roald Dahl in there, I think. And then there's The Wonderful Adventures of Henry Sugar. And I like that one.
You like that one? I'll at least listen to that one. Mm-hmm. Just for you.
Okay.
I haven't been on it in a while, so it may have changed, but a few years ago, I was exploring Roald Dahl's website for a class that I was taking, and it was very fun. There was a lot of good interactive stuff and a lot of really interesting information about him. But then there's this, I think it was a chicken. I can't remember if it was a chicken or some random creature that just kept popping onto the screen every once in a while, making a really annoying noise. I was like, wow, that's a real good way to get someone to not stay on your website. Just have this weird thing come on and go, every once in a while. So if that's your kind of thing, go check it out. It's probably RoaldDahl.com. I'm not sure. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you been reading anything else recently that you've been enjoying? I know we have some Battle of the Books books in the pipeline.
I'm reading three books at once.
Champion.
Yeah. And one of them, and I'm still reading the books you've heard of. I haven't really gotten very far in each of them because I've been reading a little bit of each of them and then circulating.
So that was Going Bovine.
Yeah.
Maximum Ride.
Uh-huh.
And Half Brother.
Uh-huh.
I'm good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm currently reading Half Brother at the moment. And then I'll probably go back to Going Bovine. I haven't done much of Maximum Ride recently, but I'll probably get to it.
Yeah.
Since it's sitting right next to my bed, so when I wake up one morning,
it's a good spot for it.
Read it. Mm-hmm.
I, too, am reading the same books, except the BFG is new. But I'm still listening to The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman, which is a book for adults, which is, I'm almost done with it. I listened to it a bit this morning. Mm. And
isn't that a movie?
No.
Or something? I don't know.
There is a... I'm confused. There's a couple things that it sounds like.
Ah.
But no, it's his newer book. So it just came out in June, I believe.
Okay.
And then I'm also reading Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock, which is the new young adult book from Matthew Quick, who's the author best known for Silver Linings Playbook, which was made into a movie last year. Those are the main things I've been reading.
What's Silver Linings Playbook about?
It is about it's an adult book, mm-hmm. or well, the movies, it's a movie too, but it's from the perspective of a young man who has just come out of some kind of facility for people who have some form of mental illness. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if it's technically a mental institution or not, or because I haven't read the book yet. I've just seen the movie. Mm-hmm. He's going home to live with his parents, and he has a woman who, I can't remember if they're married or not, or if they were engaged, but he has, mm-hmm. there was a woman in his life that he's now separated from and mm-hmm. who's kind of moved on, but he's wanting to get back with her. And in the, he meets his friend's, sister who also has some mental illness issues, and mm-hmm. they form a friendship and sort of about their relationship with one another. Very and cool. his re-entry into the world. It's really good, the movie at least. And I've heard the book is very good, but I haven't read it yet.
Do you know why it's called Silver Linings Playbook?
I'm trying to remember. I saw the movie a while ago. No, I couldn't tell you. I can't remember. I mean, silver linings, you know, are like the bright side of things, but so it has something to do with that. But I can't remember.
Yeah.
Good excuse to watch the movie again or read the book.
Uh-huh.
Hooray.
Yay.
but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
So hopefully I will finish that book by next week and then I can talk about it properly. Not that one. Forgive me, Leonard Peacock. Uh-huh. So far I'm enjoying it. But anyways, we are almost out of time. We thought about reading some poems. Do you want to read a poem at random? We did that once. That and was it was crazy. Somewhat successful.
It was slightly successful.
We have this great book called Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets, 100 Poems to Rip Out and Read, which was published in conjunction with the Academy of American Poets and selected by Bruno Navosky, who I believe is at least a part-time Columbia County resident or a frequent visitor. He's a very, very nice man, chooses poems very well. I love this book. That's this book that's designed to be torn out of, and I have a copy that has been torn out of, but the library also has a copy, and we ask the people not tear those out, as tempting as it is. We'll make photocopies for you. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in it, feel free to check it out at the library. But Quinn has a poem that she selected at random.
Yes, I like this poem.
What is it?
It's to PJ, who's 2 years old, who said, S-E-D, write a poem for me in Portland, Oregon. If I could ever write a poem as beautiful as you, little two-year-old brother, I would laugh, jump, leap, up, touch the stars, because you be the poem I try for each time I pick up the pen and paper. You and Moraine and Mugu are blue, black stars that would shine on our lives, make us finally be. If I could ever write a poem as beautiful as you, little two-year-old brother, poetry would go out of business.
Yay.
Yay.
I love that poem.
Yes.
Is that Sonia Sanchez? Is that who that is? I think it's at the bottom.
It is.
I think she's a YA author.
Uh-huh.
I'm not positive if it's the same person. I'll have to look into it. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to read one and then we have Quinn read another one. So I'm going to read one called The Bean Eaters by Gwendolyn Brooks. So it's called The Bean Eaters. Mm-hmm. They eat beans, mostly, this old yellow pear. Dinner is a casual affair, plain chipware on a plain and creaking wood, tin flatware. Two who are mostly good, two who have lived their day, but keep on putting on their clothes and putting things away. And remembering. Remembering with twinklings and twinges as they lean over the beans in their rented back room that is full of beads and receipts and dolls and cloths, tobacco crumbs, vases, and fringes.
Who's that by?
Gwendolyn Brooks.
Yeah, Gwendolyn Brooks. Good. Uh-huh. And Emily handed me, not at random.
Sort of. I was flipping through and I was like, that one looks like it'd be fun to read.
It's called Today by Frank O'Hara. Oh, kangaroos, sequins, chocolate sodas. You really are beautiful. Pearls, harmonicas, jubies, aspirins. All the stuff they've always talked about. still makes a poem a surprise. These things with us are every day, even the beachheads and beers. They do have meaning. They're as strong as rocks.
Mm-hmm. What was the first line again? I like the first line.
Oh, kangaroo sequins, chocolate sodas! Exclamation point.
It's very nice. Okay. I have one more. I like Quinn's reading voice. So
I'll
have her read some more.
Okay. I ask my mother to sing by Lee Chung Lee. Lee Young Lee. She begins as my grandmother joins her. Mother and daughter sing like young girls. If my father were alive, he would play his accordion and sway like a boat. I've never been in Peking? Perking?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's Peking.
Peking. Mm-hmm. I've never been in Peking or the Summer Palace, nor stood on the great stone boat to watch the rain begin on Kunming Lake, the picnickers running away in the grass. But I love to hear it sung, how the water lilies fill with rain until they're overrun, spilling water into water, then rock back, filled with more. Both women have begun to cry, but neither stops her song. That's sad. Or deep, whatever.
We'll do one more to make it a little more
happy.
Happy.
And then you can.
This one's fun.
Well, you could do one.
You want me to do one? Okay. You can do one. This one is the first book. Open it. Go ahead. It won't bite. Well, maybe a little. More a nip, like a tingle. It's pleasurable, really. You see, it keeps on opening. You may fall in. Sure, it's hard to get started, remembering, learning to use knife and fork. Dig in. You'll never reach bottom. It's not like it's the end of the world. Just the world as you think you know it. And this is one of our favorite poems. I believe.
I'm Nobody, Who Are You? By Emily Dickinson. I'm Nobody, Who Are You? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us, don't tell. They'd banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog. Tell your name the livelong day to an admiring bog.
Yay. I actually thought of that poem yesterday because I was hanging out with some friends and somehow the topic of like what animal would you want to be if you could be an animal came up, and almost everyone wanted to be a bird and I wanted to be a frog.
Yeah.
I was like, it seems like it'd be nice to be a frog. You get to be on land and in the water. Start off life as a tadpole, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. In fact, when we were randomly picking out poems, I almost on purposely picked this one because I saw it, but I decided I wouldn't because then I would have picked it randomly. But I'm glad we got to say it anyway.
Yeah, it's a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap it up. The afternoon show is coming up next. But thanks for joining me today, Quinn.
You too.
Always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening, listeners out there, and happy reading this week. We'll see you next week.
Yep. See you.